Hello and welcome to the Frugalpreneur podcast for people who want big venture for little capital. I'm your hostess, Shannon, and on today's episode, we'll be interviewing Julie Longyear, the owner and creative chemist of Blissoma Raw Botanical Skincare. In her business, Julie melds her passion for art, apothecary, and chemistry to create unique offerings in skincare and perfume over at her website, iriestar.com. In today's interview, she also sheds light on the power of saying no for entrepreneurs and how to negotiate growth and sniff out good opportunities as they come your way. Enjoy. All right. Hi, everyone. Right now I have Julie Longyear on the phone. And she is the creator of iriestar.com, which has some awesome raw botanical skincare, some candles, and some other goodies. Welcome to the call, Julie.
Hi, how are you today?
Fabulous. It's so great to have you here. And for any of our listeners that are not familiar with who you are and what you do, could you give us a little bit about your background, what your business is about, and some forward steps you plan on taking?
Sure. I started the company about... in 2001 or so, really. We've been through a few evolutions since then, but our current focus is holistic skincare, apothecary products. I have a background in art as well as chemistry, so it's kind of, I come from both more the scientific and creative side of things, which is kind of unusual because usually people are kind of more to one side or the other, so I kind of think of that as a unique skill set. And I initially did some chemistry work in, actually after getting my first degree, which was in design. And then, as I moved forward into trying to deal with some of my own personal health issues, through natural and herbal formats, I was really impressed by what these options could offer people. And I decided, you know, as we were moving forward, that this was really what I wanted to concentrate on. So we're really focused on producing botanically based products that deliver a result, whether that be like healing or stress relief or, you know, whatever they're constructed to do, they really do it. Because being of a scientific sort of mindset, I really like it when things work. So I really try to do a lot of heavy research on the ingredients that we're using in products. And I like to provide people something that makes a real measurable difference in their lives. That's kind of the focus of what I like to make. And then, you know, from there, that kind of has given birth to the variety of products that we make over time. We started our skincare line about 3 years ago, and that was actually in development for about 2 years. So really I started my foray into that field like 5 or 6 years ago, and that has been one of the most rewarding things that I've done so far, because as much as I love like essential oils and I love working with aromatherapy, I really find that, you know, when you're using both the essential oils and, you know, medicinal herbs, you're really getting a synergistic product that is delivering the maximum benefit to folks. So we produce, 14 different products now for facial and body use. And then we also have a small perfume range and deodorants and yoga mat cleanser. And we try to bring out products that are a little bit unique. There's really no point in being, you know, kind of the same as everybody else. And as much as, you know, I love room mists. We used to make like room mists and, you know, just bar soaps and things like that. But I've found over time that our niche is really producing kind of standout items that really get some attention or fill a unique niche. So sometimes it seems like our line is a little bit, it's pretty diverse, really. But those products all have their specific market and a specific need and, you know, people that keep coming back for them. So that's kind of how we've retained customers over time is by being unique. And then I see us growing tremendously in the next 6 months to a year. We've really done a lot of groundwork over the last 3 years since I debuted the initial skincare collection, and it is doing really well. A lot of the PR work that we did last year has really started to take off, and I see us at least, you know, doubling the amount of business that we do over the next year, and hopefully, you know, multiple times that within the next several years. So it's going to be an interesting ride, you know, seeing how things go, and my goal is to help as many people as possible. So the more people we reach, the more I'm doing. So that's kind of where we're at.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah. I mean, I absolutely love your products. The site is awesome. It's very well done. And, you know, what a great segue into today's topic, because we'll be covering a little bit about the power of no for entrepreneurs. Because you've been talking about growth, and while you anticipate big growth for your business, for your products that you offer and your audience, I'm sure with growth comes a lot of different opportunities. And so I would love to hear your thoughts on the power of saying no and being able to sniff out opportunities.
Absolutely. So really, as you begin to put yourself out there into the world, a lot of it is about having clarity about what opportunities are going to be right for your business. And the important thing for people to remember is that if they're clear about what their goals are and where they see their product fitting, they are going to have a much easier time determining if each opportunity is really a fit for them or not. And I think a lot of entrepreneurs get excited about, you know, the latest trend in marketing, or, you know, you get approached by lots of different promotional companies and advertising opportunities and all these various choices that you have to make about how to share your stuff with the world. And one of the things that my dad really imparted to me at the beginning of running a business was, it's easy to spend money, but it's not nearly so easy to make that money. Mm-hmm. So you really have a limited amount of resources, and, you know, especially as a small business, you have finite resources, and you have to make really careful decisions about what to do with those, because, you know, making that like a major wrong move could put you in a pretty seriously awkward position. So my strategy over time, we've tried a lot of things over the course of time. You know, many different choices and many different products. And, you know, when I'm approached these days by a company that's trying to sell me a promotional service, I really carefully evaluate it. And I say no a lot of the time to various opportunities. And I even have a local similar business that I occasionally network with the other business owner, who is also doing a kind of an apothecary range in candles. And she at one point had worked with Restoration Hardware. And basically at the point that, you know, she and I were getting to know each other, she had actually decided that that type of relationship was not good for her business. As basic as it may seem, I mean, people, when you're telling people about your business, like, say, you know, they're like, oh, where are your products sold? And, you know, if you have like a big chain name to say like that, people seem to take you more seriously. They're like, oh, that's great that you're working with them. You know, that's what makes you like a real business to some people when you're telling them about your business. But, you know, in reality, dealing with some of those bigger businesses can really hurt your business in the long run. And she found that over time, that they were basically nickel and diming her business to the point where she wasn't making a profit working with them, even though it would seem like a no-brainer. Like, you know, you're in so many stores and you're moving through this much merchandise. None of it's any good if it's not profitable for you. I basically, you know, by knowing my market and by refusing the offers that are not well suited to me, have managed to survive thus, you know, this far. And I think that you know, being carefully discerning and not jumping on the bandwagon with everything that comes your way, you know, and really carefully evaluating it would be to everybody's benefit. You know, it's a basic bit of business advice that I would give to people. You don't want to lose your head, you know,
right. And get And so I would actually ask, do you have any pointers for people that are just starting out? Because I know, you know, for your market, it probably took some time to get to know your market, to who's buying and where they benefit those profit, you know, from seeing your product. Mm-hmm. And so that probably helped you know which big opportunities to take. But do you have some pointers? You did mention profit, so obviously that's a big deal. If your collaboration with a big brand or getting a mention somewhere, you know, is actually costing you money, that's a pretty quick way. But sometimes it seems a little scary because it's like, well, you know, have I just not put in enough time? So you may lose money in the first month or two, but how do you know when losing a little bit of profit is too much profit, or other ways to sniff out when to stick with it or when to quit?
Well, I would say there's no problem with making an initial investment in getting going with a client that has the chance of being profitable in the long run. That's something that you probably are going to have to do, because in getting started with anybody, like every customer that you gain costs you money in some way. You know, there is literally a price to reaching new people. Mm-hmm. You know, whether that's you're maintaining a constant contact account and emailing people, you know, there's a monthly cost to that and the time to sit down and write the emails. If you're presented with an opportunity and it does involve a bit of an investment on the front end, I'm not opposed to that necessarily. And in fact, I regularly make sure and make deals with clients where, you know, their needs are taken into consideration. However, I also make sure that I'm taken care of, you know, in making those deals. And like, maybe it's just the first order that is, you know, either discounted or provides extra service or extra samples. And then I spend a lot of time with my spreadsheets and really getting into detailed cost analysis. Because, my products, there may be like 15 ingredients in a single product. Mm. And so I have to know the current costs for all those items. You know, what percentage they're going into the recipe at. I have to know our production rates, you know, how many units we could conceivably produce in a year. And I run, you know, various situations through my spreadsheets to say, okay, well, you know, if we're producing this many per hour, how many do we need to make to be able to be profitable? You know, what kind of a drain is this going to put on my production resources? And is that worth it if I can make more profit selling another way? Because we're split between distribution, wholesale, and retail. And so what I don't want to do is allot too many of my studio resources and time and energy towards making my product in the least profitable way. I want to put those resources towards making the maximum profit. So if I know, like, you know, right now my business model incorporates doing a good chunk of business online retail. So I don't want to take away from the time that we spend doing that, because that's high profit to us. Mm-hmm. And so if taking a large deal, you know, at a greatly reduced price is going to compromise my ability to keep my retail orders flowing consistently, I can't necessarily afford to do that, because I'm making less profit, you know, on that big order or the big situation at a discount, because it's so taken down on the pricing level, versus like I could sell less stuff and make, you know, much more profit. If I just find a couple more retail customers. So I would say knowing where your profit is coming from and, you know, how you want to manage your time is really helpful too, because you don't want to be stressed out either. As a small business, you can only produce so many things per year, or if you're a service provider, you only have so many hours in the day.
Right.
So you have to know what's going to be an undue burden on you in order to maximize what you need to get out of your business, and then, you know, make decisions accordingly. And I think that saying no can be a really powerful thing in terms of when people are approaching you, they're approaching you with the perspective that they're trying to sell you what's beneficial to them. You know, if you're dealing with a promotional company or a PR company or whatever, their pitch is designed around what's going to be good and profitable for them. It's not necessarily designed around what's going to be good and profitable for you, unless it's a true fit between your two companies. And I mean, just for as an example, like the Groupon stuff that was happening, you know, a year or year and a half ago, starting up. I mean, that was a hot marketing trend, and once it started, you know, people saw that folks were flocking to that site, and you know, participating in that, and that gets an entrepreneur excited. Like, you want to take advantage of what customers are looking at, you know, and absorbing, because that's an opportunity to get their attention and get them to hopefully remember your name. However, I know of businesses that actually went out of business because of having done too many Groupon type specials. Like, they maybe not only ran one with Groupon, but with others, because more services like that popped up, and you know, that became the way to get people's attention, at least in some for some people's, you know, that's what they thought they needed to do. But in reality, what they did was they ended up with too many discounted services. The one client in particular was a client of mine who had a spa, and the estheticians were working overtime, and the offers were getting redeemed, you know, at 50%. So a lot of the clients were bargain seekers, and you know, the Groupon type companies were selling this as a marketing thing, you know, where you have the opportunity to introduce your product and service to this group of customers. However, those customers went from being, you know, try before you buy shoppers into being people that were just bargain hunting. They were really Groupon's customers and not the spas, because there was just going to be another offer in a week, you know, where they could buy another thing at 50% off. So this small spa ran itself into the ground by having too many discounted offers. And I mean, I think that's something that's tragic, but it can happen if you get, you know, a little too excited and don't really think about the long-term impact that something like that can have on your cash flow. You know, before I'm going to take on anything big like that, where I'm basically giving away my profit margin, I have to say, you know, what value is this really going to bring my company, and project out what the long-term impact might be. So I don't make decisions like that quickly, mm-hmm. unless it's something that I've already mapped out in the past. You know, if I have something established where I'm like, okay, I know this works, sure. You know, if somebody approaches me, then I can say yes or no really quickly. But if it's a new opportunity with something that I haven't fully considered, I give it some time. Mm-hmm. Because it's better to not take that action. It's better to not jump on that bandwagon than it is to jump on unwisely and without having considered your business's individual needs. Because there's always going to be a next thing. Always. Always, always, always. There will be another marketing trend. And there are always more people out there. And there are always more people looking for services and products. So your opportunity to reach people never really goes away.
Excellent advice. My goodness. Yeah, I can see how definitely the Groupon thing was huge. I mean, and I've worked in, some of my clients have used Groupon as well. And you don't think that when you do collaborations, one thing that I'd like to, you know, expand upon that you had picked up on is, you know, when you collaborate with somebody, you have to kind of wonder how their audiences are going to respond to your product or your services in the long term. Like with Groupon, as you pointed out, some of them were Groupon customers. They weren't using it as a way to discover new services. They were just using Groupon as a way to find deals. So their loyalty was with Groupon and Groupon exclusively. Mm-hmm. And so that's something I think that my listeners can really benefit from, is whenever you team up with anyone, you know, see whether the conversions are going to last or whether they're just teaming up with you simply because you've offered a discount or a short-term, you know, name attached to your name. So I think that's really great. And one thing I wanted to ask you about in terms of, you know, the importance of saying no. So So we've kind of discussed the big end of teaming up with major brands, major retailers, and really big things. But I don't know if you have any experience on like the small nose when it comes to maybe your local chamber of commerce or some of the people you knew before business was going really well. Some of the smaller relationships that you might have where people still want things to remain the same, if you get where I'm going, where maybe you offered your services as a discount because of a friendship or a business relationship or family friends or local businesses that kind of want things to stay the same. And yeah. As you grow, you can't always keep those kind of, you know, special perks with the people you know. Do you have any advice for people on a smaller scale?
It's one of the most difficult situations, you know, that you can come up against. I think standing up for your pricing is really hard sometimes when, you know, you're faced with the possibility that that client might not like hearing that, you know, mm-hmm. you changed your pricing and that you can no longer accommodate them, you know, where things were before. I think that it's super important to find, to know where you want to be going in your business. And then the people that are a good match for you and that can afford your services at a given point will tend to gravitate towards you. And if that client can't grow with you and you have, you know, you have again, finite resources, a limited amount of time each year, all that, it doesn't serve your business, you know, to continue to discount because you could be serving clients that are a better match for how you're growing. And I mean, it's really, it's just business kind of situation. You know, if they can't afford to pay what you are currently worth, then that's fine. You know, no hard feelings, but they could probably go find somebody else that's just getting going or whatever. I mean, if that's, you know, if they want the relationship with you and their investment is with you, then they'll either like respect, you know, your wishes and say, cool, that's fine. You know, I understood I paid $20 an hour the last time, but you know, you're totally worth 35. Mm-hmm. And I'm so glad that, you know, we get to work together still. That might be the response. And sometimes, you know, everybody's looking for a deal too. So you need to sometimes come out of the gate strong, you know, when you're asked, you know, what are you going to charge to do this project? Like when I do some independent consulting for people in design and copywriting, because people have seen what I've done with my own brand and they like that work. And so, occasionally I take private clients on and, there have been situations where I did give a discount or a, you know, special price on the first time round. And I'm very careful usually about when I do that because I want people to understand that it's a special price. And I make sure and tell them, you know, I'm taking time away from my primary business, you know, to do this for you. So in order to make it worthwhile for me, I have to make this amount of money. And you just, you know, it's nothing personal. You just state it. You can state it very simply like that, just very nuts and bolts. And my impression has been that generally the people that are interested in you for the special, unique service that you offer will say yes still, if it's within their means to do so. And the people who can't, you know, but still respect what you offer, will say, oh, I'm so sorry that, like, you know, it's just not going to work for us, but, you know, I still love what you do, and maybe next time, like, we'll plan it into the budget, and we'll hook up again in the future. You know, it doesn't mean necessarily that by saying no that you're closing off that relationship forever. It means that potentially, you know, this time it might not work out, but then the next time that they're planning a project, you know, they might say, oh, well, I want to hire them, but I have to budget for this much money because, you know, that's what I know that they charge. So it sets you up for growth in the future, even if it means a few, you know, relationships that maybe don't work out in the short term. And then if you don't do it, nobody else is going to. Nobody else is going to stand up for your right to make, you know, $30 an hour or $50 an hour or $60 an hour. You have to do that yourself. So, and it's important to recognize too that by saying no to the opportunities that are not right for you, you're creating the space for that yes to happen. You know, you if your docket is completely full of opportunities that are not optimal for you, you've made yourself so busy that you can't say yes to the things that are going to be growth oriented for you and are going to be profitable. So, you know, how you fill your time is just super important like that. And you need to make space for those right opportunities. So, I mean, that's, and again, it's totally, there doesn't need to be feeling involved. You know, it's nothing personal. Again, if you tell a client that your rate is, you know, whatever it is, and they don't like that, you know, if they happen to say something kind of emotionally based or like, I think that's too expensive, you know, you can either choose to just not reply, or you can say, well, you know, this is, you know, why my services are priced at what they are. And I've researched, you know, the other individuals that are in my field, and I feel like this is justified, and here's the value I provide. And if it's not right for you, that's okay. You know, and sometimes that's hard to hear too, because I mean, that emotional type of reaction is, it's no fun to get, you know, somebody basically insulting you. And but I've dealt with that as well, where, you know, people told me, you know, I think that's too much to charge for a business card design. And I'm like, well, that's how much time it's going to take me. Mm-hmm. You know, and that's where you knowing your own business is super important. Like if I know it's going to take me 2 hours of my time to complete a business card design, and it doesn't matter how simple it is, then, you know, if they don't value my time, then that's not respectful. It's not a respectful relationship. I want to work with people who respect my time, who are, you know, conscientious and kind about how they deal with me. And I offer that in return. And if they're looking for that relationship, then, you know, I'm the right person to work with. And if not, then they're free to go like to Kinko's and have one pumped out for $50. But that's not me. You know, I mm-hmm. don't do that. I do higher quality work. But that's the choice that I've made. I don't want to do cut rate service of any kind. My products are not cut rate. My you know, consulting services are not cut rate. I want to, like, my desire as a person and as a professional is to provide something that's a better quality. And so I expect to be compensated for that, and not even unreasonably so. I mean, gosh, my lifestyle is not extravagant. So I feel very defensible, you know, when right. when I state what my rate is, because I know, you know, I'm not driving a Porsche, you know, I'm not even driving, you know, a new car at all. I'm driving an old car, and I live in an older home, and, you know, manage my resources carefully so that I can, and that's, you know, another thing too, I manage my life carefully so that I can afford to say no when the relationship isn't right, because I want the ability to refuse. You know, I don't want to ever be that desperate that I have to take an opportunity that's just completely wrong just because I need the cash flow. That's not how I want to spend my life.
Mm-hmm. That is some brilliant advice to close on, because I think that's exactly what your business should be. Whether you're doing graphic design, whether you're creating products, whether you're doing copywriting, whatever it is your business is, you need to have the power, the advocacy to say, I'm sorry, this isn't a good relationship, or the money isn't there, or whatever it is. Because the whole point of working for yourself, even as a side hustle or as a full-time gig, is to create that freedom. And I find that sometimes we're scared and we enslave ourselves to these obligations that don't even feel right, just simply because we don't want to say no and hurt someone's feelings or ask for more money and get rejected. That is some great closing advice. And I really, that's powerful right there. That's like, that's really strong. And one thing I always ask people before we conclude a call is that if there have been any books, websites, or information sources that have really helped you in your business. Do you have anything like that you'd like to share?
Let's see. Well, I mean, for starters, my dad was a great, he was a great advisor in the beginning, because he was from the business world. He gave me a lot of advice about clients and stuff. Unfortunately, he doesn't have a website. But I would say, you know, that at this point I'm kind of watching a lot of stuff go by on Marie Forleo's website. I think mm-hmm. there's a lot of really good business advice to be had there, which you probably have heard of her before. I maintain, you know, I think having friends that are entrepreneurs is a really valuable thing, because they are going to tell you things just in conversations that may not even be talked about, or you can tell them your personal business. You know, if you have a good friend who's also an entrepreneur, you can be like, okay, look, here's the nitty gritty of a situation. Help me out here. And they're trying to make it too, and they understand what it's like. So I think even just having friends that are entrepreneurs is a huge, huge asset. So like, nobody official, but just build your network of other entrepreneurial folks that you can talk to when things get tough. I also just got Danielle Laporte's book recently and have been hanging out on her site a bit, on Chris Carr's site a lot. And she gives not only, you know, the diet advice, but spiritual and business suggestions as well. And let's see, let me think if there's anything else. You know, a lot of it has just been coming into my own as a human being. So I would say, like, any investment and any time that you spend in your own personal and spiritual development eventually feeds into your entrepreneurship too. So that's hugely helpful. So I would say, you know, people should definitely spend time on their own, you know, personal development, be that like, you know, confidence building or, you know, just meeting new people, all that, you know, those are good places to start.
Wow. Julie, you are chock full of great entrepreneurial advice. My goodness. Even I was like, oh, that's a good closing statement. And then I ask you about resources and then you throw us some more. So I definitely agree with, you know, fulfilling yourself personally and spiritually and physically as well, because I think so many people pour themselves into their business and drain themselves dry. And something I've had to learn the hard way is, whatever it is for you, running, yoga, swimming, meditation, prayer, going to church, whatever that is, you know, personally, you have to do that, as well as surrounding yourself by like-minded individuals that are going to push you to something greater, or at least get where you're coming from. Because mm-hmm. so many times being an entrepreneur can sometimes be an isolating place.
Oh,
and
absolutely.
And unless you have friends that get it and that can advocate for you in a conversation where you're like, wow, I really don't want to up my rates, and your friend that's been in that position goes, oh, no, you need to up your rates. Like, you deserve more money.
You need to double your rates.
Yeah, you know? Exactly. And I've been in that situation too, where it's like, my friend is like, seriously, you don't, like, why are you charging that? Don't be dumb. Like, go re-email that person and fix the situation. And that's been such a help. And your business is, like I said earlier, it's really great. It's off to some great and powerful things. And Julie, thank you so much for being on the call today. I cannot wait to send my listeners to your site over at iriestar.com and to check out your amazing perfumes, your skincare, your candles, gosh, everything you offer. So again, thanks for being on the call today.
Oh, thank you so much. I love it. I mean, it's, you know, of all the hard knocks that I've gotten, it's great to be able to talk to other people about, you know, how to maybe avoid some of those, or, you know, just figure out how to structure so that they have a better time of it. I like sharing information, so this has been great for me too.
Oh, well, you are absolutely brilliant, and you have an awesome day.
Thank you so much. You too.
Take care.
All right, bye-bye.